I'm reading a book. And the point of this book, Dylan, can you see okay? There's a spot over here if you want to get closer. No, you want to stay there. Okay. The point of this book is about gifts. And sometimes we think, well, I can't buy a gift because I don't have a lot of money, right? I can't go to the store by myself. But this book is about a little boy. Can you see him? He's pretty enthusiastic, isn't he? Yeah. What's hanging out there?
Belly.
His big belly, yeah. There once was a small boy called Wilford Gordon MacDonald Partridge. And what's more, he wasn't very old either. His house was next door to an old people's home, and he knew all the people who lived there. He liked Mrs. Jordan, who played the organ. He listened to Mr. Hosking, who told him scary stories. He played with Mr. Tippett, who was crazy about cricket. You ever heard of cricket? It's kind of like baseball. Kind of like baseball. He's got a broom there that I think is his cricket bat. He ran errands for Miss Mitchell, who walked with a wooden stick. He admired Mr. Drysdale, who had a voice like a giant. But his favorite person of all was Miss Nancy Allison Delacourt Cooper, because she had four names just as he did. He called her Miss Nancy and told her all his secrets. One day, Wilford Gordon heard his mother and father talking about Miss Nancy. "Poor old thing," said his mother. "Why is she a poor old thing?" asked Wilford Gordon. "Because she lost her memory," said his father. "It isn't surprising," said his mother. "After all, she is 96 years old." "What's a memory?" asked Wilford Gordon. He was always asking questions. "It is something you remember," said his father. But Wilford Gordon wanted to know more. So he called on Mrs. Jordan, who played the organ. "What's a memory?" he asked. "Something warm, my child, something warm." He called on Mr. Hosking, who told him scary stories. "What's a memory?" he asked. "Something from long ago, me lad, something from long ago." He called on Mr. Tippett, who was crazy about cricket. "What's a memory?" he asked. "Something that makes you cry, my boy. Something that makes you cry." He called on Miss Mitchell, who walked with a wooden stick. "What's a memory?" he asked. "Something that makes you laugh, my darling. Something that makes you laugh." He's having a lot of fun there, isn't he? He called on Mr. Drysdale, who had a voice like a giant. "What's a memory?" he asked. "Something as precious as gold, young man, something as precious as gold." So Wilford Gordon went home again to look for memories for Miss Nancy because she had lost her own. Who's he visiting with there?
A chicken.
He looked for the shoebox of shells he had found long ago last summer and put them gently in a basket. He found the puppet on strings, which always made everyone laugh, and he put that in the basket too. He remembered with sadness the medal which his grandfather had given him, and he placed it gently next to the shells. What kind of medal do you think that was? You think it was a soccer medal? A baseball medal? Any other guesses? Since it made him sad, I wonder if it might be from a war.
Maybe it's a basketball one.
A basketball medal? He's back with the chicken. Next, he found his football, which was as precious to him as gold. And last of all, on his way to Miss Nancy's, he went into the hen house and took a fresh, warm egg from under a hen. He's got a basket full of fun things there, doesn't he? Then Wilford Gordon called on Miss Nancy and gave her each thing one by one. "What a dear, strange child to bring me all these wonderful things," thought Miss Nancy. Then she started to remember. She held the warm egg and told Wilford Gordon about the tiny speckled blue eggs she had once found in a bird's nest in her aunt's garden. She put a shell to her ear and remembered going to the beach by tram long, long ago and how hot she had felt in her button-up boots. She touched the medal and talked sadly of the big brother she had loved who had gone to the war and never returned. She smiled at the puppet on strings and remembered the one she had shown to her sister and how she had laughed with a mouthful of porridge. That's Miss Nancy when she was a little girl. She bounced the football to Wilfred Gordon and remembered the day she had met him and all the secrets they had told. And the two of them smiled and smiled because Miss Nancy's memory had been found again by a small boy who wasn't very old either. He gave her gifts, didn't he? He sat with her and listened to her, and he brought her things to help her remember. So even if we don't have money and can't go to the store, we can still give people gifts by listening and helping them, can't we? All right. We're going to make a circle, say a prayer, and then I have something for you to play with. All right? Okay. Yes, it is. Jesus, we thank you for these children all over the world. We ask that you help their families and all who care for them. We ask that they be shown lots of love, lots of listening, and lots of sweet memories. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. You get to pick out what color you want her to. What color do you want?
Red.
You want? Is this red?
Yes.
Okay. What color do you want?
Pink.
You want pink. There's pink. What color?
Black.
There you go. You got black. What color you want, Dylan? Orange. There you go. All right. Thank you for coming up.
Son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife,
For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
Oh,
An excerpt from Whistling in the Dark by Frederick Buechner. The lovely old carols played and replayed till their effect is like a dentist's drill or a jackhammer. The pathetic banalities of the pulpit and the chilling commercialism of almost everything else. People spending money they can't afford on presents you neither need nor want. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the plastic tree, the cornball creche, the Hallmark Virgin. Yet for all our efforts, we've never quite managed to ruin it. That in itself is part of the miracle, a part you can see. Most of the miracle you can't see or don't. The young clergyman and his wife do all the things you do on Christmas Eve. They string the lights and hang the ornaments. They supervise the hanging of the stockings. They tuck in the children. They lug the presents down out of hiding and pile them under the tree. Just as they're about to fall exhausted into bed, the husband remembers his neighbor's sheep. The man asked him to feed them for him while he was away, and in the press of other matters that night, he almost forgot about them. So down the hill he goes through knee-deep snow. He gets two bales of hay from the barn and carries them out to the shed. There's a 40-watt bulb hanging by its cord from the low roof, and he lights it. The sheep huddle in a corner watching as he snaps the baling twine, shakes the squares of hay apart, and starts scattering it. Then they come bumbling and shoving to get at it with their foolish, mild faces, the puffs of their breath showing in the air. He is reaching to turn off the bulb and leave when suddenly he realizes where he is. The winter darkness, the glimmer of light, the smell of animals, the smell of hay and the sound of those animals eating. Where he is, of course, is the manger. He only just saw it. He whose business it is above everything else to have an eye for such things is all but blind in that eye. He who on his best days believes that everything that is most precious anywhere comes from that manger might easily have gone home to bed, never knowing that he himself had just been in the manger. It is only by grace that he happens to see this other part of the miracle. Christmas itself is by grace. It could never have survived our own blindness and depredations otherwise. It could never have happened otherwise. Perhaps it is the very wildness and strangeness of the grace that has led us to try to tame it. We have tried to make it habitable. We have roofed it in and furnished it. We have reduced it to an occasion we feel at home with. At best, a touching and beautiful occasion, at worst, a trite and cloying one. But if the Christmas event in itself is indeed, as a matter of cold hard fact, all it's cracked up to be, then even at best, our efforts are misleading. The Word become flesh, ultimate mystery, born with a skull you could crush one-handed. Incarnation. It is not tame. It is not touching. It is not beautiful. It is uninhabitable terror. It is unthinkable darkness riven with unbearable light. Agonized laboring led to it. Vast upheavals of intergalactic space, time split apart, a wrenching and tearing of the very sinews of reality itself. You can only cover your eyes and shudder before it, before this God of God, light of light, very God of very God, who for us and for our salvation, as the Nicene Creed puts it, came down from heaven. Came down. Only then do we dare uncover our eyes and see what we can see. It is the bitterness of death he takes at her breast. It is the resurrection and the life she holds in her arms.